welcome back to another episode of the Authentic Recruiter Podcast. If you are part of the recruitment industry and you believe that authentic recruiters change lives, then this is the podcast for you. I'm your host, Claire Akers. I want to say thanks for tuning in. I am so glad you're here. Let's dive in to the episode. Hello and welcome to this episode of the Authentic Recruiter Podcast. And for YouTube, if you're joining us for the visuals, this is series two. And today I am so pleased to be sitting down with Kate Bagnall, who is director at Bagnall Hopkins Recruitment. Hello, Kate. How are you?
Good morning. I'm really excited. Thank you. How are you?
I am doing really, really well. Thank you very much. Yeah, it's a full-on day of recording, but we've got some brilliant people on this series. So I'm very, very excited to see where we go with this conversation.
Oh, amazing.
So why don't you start off by telling us a bit about you and your story and how you got to be where you are today, if you would.
Yes. So I think if we go back a long, long way, I've been in recruitment for probably 20 years now, which just seems really, really scary. Went to university, left uni. I got a job with a ski and snowboarding company doing sales for events. Didn't have a clue really what I wanted to do. And then one of my friends worked for Hayes at the time and said, I've got this job. It's paying $8,500 a year. But it's a great place. You've got really great opportunities. Why don't you come? And I thought, oh, right, okay. So I went for an interview. And I worked at Hayes for 8 years and absolutely loved it. I like talking, which is always a bonus when you work in recruitment. I like people. And it just sort of brought everything together for me. It was target driven, which I absolutely loved. I love working towards targets. So yes, I was there for 8 years. And then one day, someone who I worked with, who we really respected each other work-wise, we had this sort of conversation in a meeting room, and we sort of discussed doing it on our own 8 years in. I can't even remember what prompted it. It was mainly accountancy recruitment. So I worked in their finance division and managed a team of up to sort of 17 people there. And I'd managed some different offices as well prior to this. And it just felt like the timing was right. I didn't have any family at the time. I was planning on getting married. And I just saw a real opportunity to kind of do this on my own. So 13 years ago, nearly 14 years ago, I handed in my notice, handed back my lovely company car with, nothing else to drive home, and got the bus home and set up on our own. And we've kind of grown the business, and we specialise in accountancy and sort of office support type work, and we just kind of cover, we're in Yorkshire, and we don't cover the Leeds market at all, which is something we purposely decided to do. And we cover sort of Wakefield, Huddersfield, Halifax, Barnsley kind of area. And we grew the team to a certain size, and just over a year ago, we went back to being the two of us. I don't know if you want me to tell you more about that now or...
Well, as you brought it up, absolutely. Let's dive straight into that, because that's a bold decision. What size was the team when you thought, hang on?
It's a real journey. I mean, it's really exciting, obviously, setting up. I don't think we had any real expectations of where it would go. I just remember us getting this office and thinking, gosh, we'll never fill this office, just the two of us. I don't think we had any idea that we wanted to kind of grow this business. But then we got more and more business. We wanted more people. We got an administrator to help. And then it just sort of evolved and grew, and we needed bigger offices. So we went up to a team of sort of 8 people a few years ago, and which was great. And I think I had in my head that I needed to be successful to have like 20 or 30 people working for me. A couple of years ago, I went on a personal development course, which was recruitment related. I think I mentioned it to you before, Claire. Mm-hmm. And it just had a profound impact, not only on my business, but also on my life, really. And I think I just, from this meet, from this course, mm-hmm. I realised that, you know, my idea of success wasn't actually my idea of success. It was somebody else's. I don't know whose that was. But this idea that to be successful and to have what you want, you need lots of people working for you. And I realised actually, I have two young children, they were younger then, that that wasn't really what I wanted, and it wasn't what was in my heart. And actually, I really, really enjoyed the recruitment. And as you grow a team, obviously, you then step away from doing that, the billing and the client contact so much. And when I got really sort of deep down into my why and what it was that kind of really gave me joy, mm-hmm. It was those things and the actual hands-on recruitment still. So the reason I made this kind of decision, we, you know, we'd had a sort of eight people, it had gone down to, we had sort of five and then us. And we made the decision just that we both wanted that. And at the moment, that's where we are. And it's the right decision at the moment. Who's to say that isn't, you know, going forward, nothing's in stone, nothing is concrete, but it has made me a lot happier.
I love your story. And I'm so honoured that you've shared it with on this podcast, because I think it's absolutely inspiring, and there's a really, really strong lesson in there about don't follow the mold, you know. Yeah. Make sure that your ladder of success is resting up against the right wall, because if you climb to that ladder and it's leaning on the wrong wall, then, you know, what's the point? You know, that this is a hard job, your heart's got to be in it, you've got to be doing the right thing. And hopefully hearing that story from you will inspire some people to think, actually, I'd quite like to start a company. What does that look like for me? Yeah. What is my perfect company? What's going to serve my ideal working hours, the bits of the job I absolutely love? And, you know, you can do it on your own terms. And do you know what? And after how many years it was, that's bloody brave to say, well, hang on a minute.
Yeah, and it's enlightening to just to be able to do that. And I think certainly on the personal development journey I've been on in the last couple of years, it's sometimes more about other people's opinion of you and worrying about what other people think. And it's kind of, you know, there's probably loads of people out there that think, she's let staff go and that. Do you know what? It doesn't matter what other people think. They do not pay your bills. They do not live your life. And my business is successful. It's got a brilliant reputation. And I'm really, really proud of that. And, you know, be true to yourself, because it's no one else's journey, it is yours.
Yeah.
And, you know, if you want to have 30, 40, 50 people with you, amazing. That's fantastic for you, but that isn't right for everybody.
Yeah. Hey, Claire here. I hope you are enjoying the episode. Stay tuned at the end to hear about my client connection challenge. It's fair to say that 2021 has got off to a rocky start, but I've got something pretty special lined up to make sure that you have an incredible year. Enjoy the rest of the episode, and I'll see you at the end. Let's talk about tribe and surrounding yourself with the right people. It sounds like your business partner has, you know, you balance each other out nicely. Yeah. Same values. I suppose first question is, do you think you would have done it for yourself if you hadn't had that partner in crime?
No.
If I can describe her as such.
She is a partner in crime. And actually, it's really funny, because when we set up our business, there was a lot of people with opinions on our kind of not relationship, but our relationship. And, oh, you know, you're so different. And we are really different, but that's a real, real positive. I think if you've got different values and you want different things, obviously that isn't going to work. But I'm a lot more passionate, I'm a lot more emotionally led, I would say, and
so heart on your sleeve.
Yeah, and which is great sometimes, but equally sometimes I get a bit carried away. I'm a creator, so I come up with lots of ideas and want to run with them. And Louise does sort of go, hang on, Kate, let's just reevaluate this. Why are we doing this? And we often go around in a circle together, and come back to the point we were at. But yeah, I think that really helps. And, you know, just being there to support each other, because being a business owner in any business can be a pretty lonely place.
Mm. Yeah, definitely. So I'm a massive believer in you're the sum of the five people you spend the most time with. So you need to be careful and have your boundaries and protect yourself and make sure that the people you're surrounding yourself with are not just agreeing with you, but, you know, the kind of people will give you a kick up the arse when you need it, but support you as well.
Completely. And I do think as well that comes down with clients as well. And I don't know if you agree, Claire, but
absolutely.
One of the things that I think in recruitment is, years ago, it was like, say yes to everything, wasn't it? It's like a client wants you to jump, you say how high. And I think that can have a really negative impact on you and, you know, it's surrounding yourself. If a client's values really don't sit with yours and they want you to do things that you're not comfortable with or that you don't agree with, if you're working with these people every day and they're making you feel pretty rubbish about yourself, that is not a good place to be, and you will just not attract the right clients if you work with those. I really believe that you do have a choice. If you work with those clients that you want to work with, that'll just get more of those people.
Yeah, totally agree with you. I think there's a lingering perception that recruiters are somehow lesser.
Yeah.
And they should be grateful for any sort of scraps of business clients can throw at them. I think that's really, really dangerous. And one of the aims of this podcast is to help people to raise their game.
Yeah.
To level up, to be proud of what they do and work in partnership in that kind of symbiotic relationship where you're both adding value to each other.
Totally.
How do we raise our game as recruiters and be proud of what we do?
Well, I would say that this has changed for me probably in the last 3 or 4 years as well. And I think that saying no is really important in a nice way. I don't mean in a nasty way, but one of the things that we did a couple of years ago was we really, really got clear on, right, look, what are the discounts we're giving away? What, you know, which jobs do we fill? You know, if we don't meet a client, do we still fill those positions? And getting really clear on, what do we need to do to serve our clients? It's not about them getting fees from them. Mm-hmm. You know, if a client just doesn't have time to even have a video meeting with you for 20 minutes, do we want to be working with that client? You know, get really
red flag.
Yeah, it's not a master servant relationship. Mm. And I think that's really, really important. And also, get really clear on your self-worth. You know, I know that sounds dramatic, but if you are willing to do, you know, if you've got, just as an example, if you've got a client who is got, you know, I've gone to 10 agencies, you know, here's the job. I mean, I just wouldn't even deal with something like that. I would just sort of be really, you know, thank you so much for your business. This is how we work as a business. And be really clear on what your values are and how you need to work to do a good job for them, because then they're not going to get what they want or need. If they're dealing with 10 agencies, I mean, that's a bit dramatic, but you know what I'm saying? It's kind of, that's where the bad impression comes from.
Yeah.
You need to work in partnership with these people and they are the people you want to be working with. So yeah. I would say really know your worth, because that's really, really important. And say no, it's okay to say no.
Yeah.
In a nice way.
I think it's one of the most liberating things you can do as an experienced recruiter is to sack your clients, your rubbish clients.
Yeah, I mean, there's just no, you know, some people you just don't want to work with. It doesn't make you feel good. And then, you know, that is being quite honest with people, I think, sometimes, and saying, look, if you can have that conversation, I'd really love to work with you. This is how I would like to see the relationship. And can we have a meeting about it and discuss it? And yeah, like you say, if they are not wanting to work in a way that's going to give them the results that they need, then it's a lose-lose situation, in my opinion. Mm-hmm. It is a two-way. So I think you are completely right in what you're sort of saying about that. It is that kind of master-servant relationship, I think, quite often, the perception. But as soon as you know your kind of, you realise your worth and the value that you're adding to clients and get really clear on what is that you're giving your clients, then they will sort of appreciate that so much more.
Well, I don't want to go too much down a woo route, but I think I do think
you,
your vibe attracts your tribe, right?
Totally.
So if you're respecting yourself, putting your energy out there, putting the messaging out there, it's going to attract the right sort of people.
Totally. Yeah. Completely. And it did change our business, I would say, considerably. I mean, we put in, literally put in a rule almost that, you know, we will only work with people exclusively, maximum one other agency. And I will say to clients, I just wouldn't work like this, and these are the reasons why. Mm. And also, that's a really big selling point to clients, because if you can say, look, we don't deal with dozens of vacancies, this is how we work, so you're going to get our undivided attention, because we are selective in terms of, people like selective, don't they? Nobody wants someone who just does everything.
Yeah.
So I think that's a really, really, yeah, you completely attract and say no. People, once you say no to someone, they just want more of it, don't they? In all walks of life.
Oh, yeah, we're sort of veering on relationship advice.
Okay, yeah,
hey, it's Claire here, just jumping on to check whether you have taken my recruitment impact and income scorecard. It's a short quiz, just 30 questions, and at the end, you will get your score and your personalized report. So if you're looking to grow a profitable and purpose-led company, what are you waiting for? Take the scorecard totally free of charge. There is a link in the show notes. Let's get back to the episode. Sticking with the advice theme, what advice would you have for somebody who's teetering on the edge about launching on their own?
I would definitely say do it, because you really... I just can't see how you've got anything to lose.
Yes,
really.
Yes, you know, totally with
nothing,
you.
What is there to lose? I mean, I think, and I know, you know, looking back, people would probably think, what a big risk to take leaving your job. I mean, when I left, I didn't have any children at the time. I did have a mortgage. My husband had started a new job a month before. So sometimes I look back and go, gosh, what were you thinking? But you know what I thought? If this doesn't work, I didn't ever think it wouldn't work, I can just go and get a job again anyway. You know what? You know, that you've got, there's nothing to lose, in my opinion.
Yeah, absolutely. And let's be real here, especially at the moment, how secure is your job?
Totally. And we set up in 2007, 2008, just as the recession hit. But if you're setting up a business, you don't know it any other way. You just do, and that's how it is. And I think at these times, those that aren't great do fall by the wayside. So it's an opportunity.
Absolutely. It's an opportunity. And I think as recruiters, we're used to backing ourselves.
Yeah.
And getting the results and just knowing how to rely on yourself and saying, I don't know how yet, but I am going to make this happen. I'm going to hit these numbers. I'm going to get those interviews, whatever it is. You know, so
yeah.
Why not take a risk, play bigger and do it for yourself and have all the reward?
Completely.
I wish I'd taken a photo of my grey hairs and wrinkles before I'd set up my own business. But 6 years in, but you know.
Takes its toll.
Yeah, definitely worth it, absolutely. Negative perceptions. We've talked about being seen as lesser and all that kind of thing. And we've talked about being values driven. And the theme of the whole thing is being authentic.
Yeah.
What can we do to stand up and say, this is a noble profession. We're proud of what we do. And just change perceptions.
Yeah. And I think the key thing is, it's that thing, isn't it, about you being the lighthouse, which I always think, and it's about you being, you can't change other people. And I think there's quite a closed attitude towards recruiters with each other, which is just bizarre. Like, you know, this almost, I don't know, oh, no one's as good as me, I'm this, I'm that. And I think amongst us, we all need to be a bit more supportive and open with each other. But I think my main advice to anyone is really, as long as you are authentic and you are giving recruitment the right reputation. There is nothing else you can do about others. You can't affect how other people are perceived. And you can only do what you can do for yourself. So it's kind of really living up to those values and being those things to your clients and consistently being those things. You know, your client wants consistency. They don't want to be confused by someone being one thing one day and one thing another. Show up for your clients, show up for yourself and really live those values that you say. Don't just say with this, that and the other. Actually be those things and be them consistently. And if everyone does that, then ultimately, you know, that should have a positive impact on the industry.
Yeah, definitely. You just you sparked a memory then of my first role in recruitment, which was a very aggressive startup environment.
Oh, yeah.
A very Wolf of Wall Street, where the overall culture was ruling by fear. It was, you know, kind of phone taped to your hand. You can't sit down until you've got an interview. That old stuff. And I think there is still a lot of fear in the industry, and it stops us from living up to our values and being our highest selves. And that whole collaboration piece, you know, which, if I can just give a little plug for the authentic recruiter community, is the whole thing. You know, we should stand together and we should share knowledge and expertise and ideas about how to be the best. And I think I personally believe that's how we're going to come out of this whole period being happy and brighter and more successful and robust.
And I think especially as well as a business owner, you're often very much on your own or in a partnership, and that can be a lonely place if you don't have others. And it's really lovely to share that kind of, you know, what you go through. I mean, I'm still really good friends with people I worked with, you know, 15 years ago. And it's something you share, and I think it's just about being open. And I think, unfortunately, it is quite a closed industry in many ways. So if we are open to each other and open to receiving from others and, you know, talking to other people without being suspicious. I think suspicion is a really good description of how a lot of people are.
Yeah.
And just be true to yourself, really. And if you're being that, then other people, then clients, you know, there's idiots in everything, isn't there? There's idiots in, you know, we can't control what other people do, but you can control what you do. So I think that's my biggest kind of thing, really.
Yeah, absolutely. So, final question. What's a book or a podcast you couldn't live without?
So I'm big on my whole mindset thing, and I do believe that it really is. It's something you need to do. It's not something you're just a positive person. You need to kind of work on it every day. So my number one book, although I do have a few, is a book called The Slight Edge by Jeff Olson, which is my favorite book. It's such an easy read. You can read it in about 3 days. I read it twice because things are always different on the second read, aren't they? But yeah, in terms of principles for life, The Slight Edge is absolutely amazing. I don't know if you read that one, Clara.
I haven't, no. See behind me, I've got a fair few of the older mindset books. But
it's fab.
What's your biggest takeaway from it?
I think consistency. So it's not the big things you do in life that make a difference. It's those little things you do every day. So as an example, I don't know, if you eat a Mars bar, you're not going to put on 2 stone. But if you eat a Mars bar every day for 3 years, you are just the same as if you go to the gym that first day. It's that whole thing, people join in January and by March because they're not, you know, they haven't lost 3 stone. But it's those consistent things, and it gives you really good principles. So if you do those things consistently every day, what a massive, massive impact that can have on your life.
Yeah, absolutely. I haven't read that one, but there's Atomic Habits.
Yes, I've heard that. I haven't read that, but it's similar.
Recommend that, yes, similar principles. Just keep plugging away. We're coming out in favor of KPIs here, aren't we? Which I'm not sure how I feel about that.
No
KPIs, but holding yourself to high standards and account.
I think KPIs, that's what you go from a big corporate, don't you, and people set up on their own, they rebel against KPIs.
No KPIs.
You realize they're important.
meaningful ones. Oh, we're going to have to leave it there, Kay, but thank you. It was illuminating.
Oh, that's a nice description. Oh, thank you. I hope everyone's enjoyed it.
And I hope to see you very soon.
Yeah, speak to you soon. Bye.
that is it for today. Thank you so much for being here, and I hope you enjoyed the episode. Please don't forget to like, rate, and subscribe so you never miss an episode. And if we're not already, let's connect on LinkedIn. See you next time.